Welcome back to Exploring Boys Education, a regular podcast produced by IBSC for leaders and educators in boys' schools around the world. After the IBSC newsreel, we'll hear from Susan Hassell, the headmaster of Hamilton Boys High School in New Zealand. Susan is passionate about creating a thriving environment where boys can flourish. She'll share her insights on fostering a culture of excellence, the importance of strong leadership, and the unique ways boys' schools can help young men reach their full potential. Before then, though, for some upcoming IBSC highlights, I'm joined again by IBSC Executive Director Tom Batty for the IBSC newsreel.
It is both privilege and pleasure to welcome Susan Hassell as our guest for this episode of Exploring Boys Education. Those of you fortunate to have been in Auckland last year for the IBSC annual conference at Westlake Boys High School will no doubt fondly remember Susan's powerful keynote address. As someone who started their teaching career in the Waikato region of New Zealand, I join with many in admiration for all Susan has achieved in that region and beyond. Before Susan again inspires us, I'd like to highlight IBSC's May and June offerings. On the 7th of May, we invite Directors of Professional Development to join us for an online event that will focus on initiatives that upskill teachers and develop leaders in boys' schools. Then on the 13th of May, Samara Spielberg will be presenting an interactive online workshop on cultivating well-being in all boys' classrooms. Our Ideas Lab programme for the 2023-2024 year wraps up in May. Space in Ideas Labs is limited, so I again remind it's good to get in early. Our June online classes provide perfect opportunity to grow your knowledge of working with boys. Two classes run from the 3rd to the 28th of June. Mastering Middle Leadership in Boys' Schools and Single Gender Education, a course for teachers new to boys' schools. Lastly, if you haven't yet signed up for the 2024 IBSC Annual Conference, now is the time to register for 4 days of collegial learning beneath the London sunshine, up on the hill at Harrow School from the 1st to the 4th of July. Details for all these programmes are on the IBSC website's professional development page. And now it's back to the main event, as Bruce joins in conversation with Susan Hassell. With over two decades of experience as the headmaster of Hamilton Boys High School, Susan's commitment to excellence in education, organisational management, and the art of fostering positive learning environments for boys is inspiring for all. Significantly, throughout her career, Susan has worked to position her school at the centre of its community for the benefit of all in the community. Fittingly, Susan's leadership, dedication and achievements have earned her the Officer of the New Zealand Order of Merit Award. At the time of recording, Susan had only 2 days left until her retirement from Hamilton Boys. I know her considered reflections on her career and her insights on educating boys to become the men the world needs will be inspiring to all. Always the teacher, always the bar high, always purpose with care, expectation with belonging, team with identity. Susan, we appreciate your commitment to boys' education and for sharing your wisdom and knowledge with us from the Waikato, throughout Aotearoa and across the globe. Whakawhetai koe. Thank you.
It's wonderful to be speaking with Susan Hassell on this episode of Exploring Boys Education. Susan is the outgoing head of Hamilton Boys High School in New Zealand. And I first heard Susan speak at our annual conference last year, which was hosted by Westlake Boys High School. And Susan shared a marvelous keynote that resonated with many of the folk there. And I know that the IBSC community is always keen to learn from those with experience like you have, Susan. So thank you for joining me on Exploring Boys Education to to speak about boys and why it's wonderful to educate them and how we can encourage them to be the best men that they can be.
No, thank you very much for having me.
So Susan, you've had a remarkable journey in education. I mentioned before you're ending your tenure as headmaster of Hamilton Boys High School, but you've been serving in that role since 2000, and you've had an impact particularly on boys' education. And I'm really curious as we start this conversation to hear what inspired you to dedicate a large part of your career to the education of young men.
Well, the word inspired is absolutely correct, because I have been inspired through my whole career by our boys. And the boys are the reason I have stayed at Hamilton Boys High School for so long. I often say to new staff when they come into the school that we come to a school for a variety of reasons, often very pragmatic, like our geographical location. But the reason so many of us stay in a boys' school is simply because of the boys, and it's simply because of the amazing culture that we are able to create in boys' schools around the world, throughout the world. There's a similarity in boys' schools wherever you go throughout the world, and it's a very special and unique privilege, I think, for any of us in boys' schools to have that opportunity to love boys. And why really can we love boys so much? I personally believe I have stayed in a boys' school because boys are so filled with joy. They have that exuberance from the moment they start here. And here in New Zealand, they start at 13. And they stay till they're 18. So we see them grow up into men. But that joy that they have when they start, they keep it through their careers in the school. And we have fun. You can have amazing fun when it's just a group of boys and you, the teacher, because there's no us and them with boys. I think that's a real pleasure. They embrace you. They embrace you as a man who they love and respect, and they also embrace you as a woman. So they've embraced me as a friend. Then as I grew older, they embraced me as a mother, and now they treat me like a grandmother. So I've been very fortunate to be involved in the world of boys. The real other thing that I think has kept me here is the ability to craft a genuine culture, because the staff who you work with here are also committed and passionate about boys' education in a boys' world. And so you're able to craft the traditions, the ceremonies in a boys' school in a way that I don't think you can when you have a co-educational setting, not to the same extent. So boys love that sense of ceremony. They love that sense of the traditions being important to us as well. And they too are prepared, I think, to work to make the school better. So it's their willingness to do it for the coach, really, in every setting in a school environment that can move you to tears at times. Just that love the boys show to you as an individual, to you as a team, as a group, and to each other. So that's really what's held me here. You know, you can move schools, and many people do move into different types of schools, but I have absolutely no regrets about the 25 years I've been able to be here as the headmaster of a boys' school. And you call me headmaster, and that is what our board calls me. They were willing to have a woman run the school, but they weren't willing to call me a female name. So I'm proud of the fact that I'm headmaster, because it's symbolic of the culture of the school and the respect I think that the school holds for the staff.
It just strikes me, Susan, as you share those insights, how much the idea of relationship is woven through what you shared, and how important relationship is in a boys' school. And in IBSC circles and in boys' school circles, we often say that boys learn teachers before subjects. And I think it's very evident from what you've shared. I wonder, you know, as you think about your career and the extensive career you've had in teaching and leadership, how have your experiences shaped your approach to leading a successful school for boys?
Anybody who's been part of a boys' school, as I have, I'm sure could answer that question, because you do craft yourself as a leader differently in the world of boys, I think. So, and we all get wisdom from experiences, both positive and negative. And wisdom isn't something you can buy or something that you can read about in a book. It's something that you can only gain from those experiences. And the boys give you a unique type of experience. I think that boys teach you very quickly that you can't keep doing the wrong thing, that they will forgive you very easily the first and second times you do something wrong, but after that they're expecting you to learn. So I think as a leader you can be very you can be very open to boys in a boys' school. So you can allow yourself to be vulnerable as a leader, and I think that's a very real strength that I've learned, and it's shaped my approach to leading. So it's that sense that you can be intentional in realizing your goals, but you also can expose yourself to not being perfect. And boys are incredibly forgiving. They need a leader, I believe, from my experiences over the years. Boys genuinely need a leader who is able to articulate the vision. They need to have the vision articulated in words and in actions. They need and they respond really well to a leader who explains why and explains how, so who gives them the respect. I'm sure that's true for all secondary school students, for all students crafting their way through adolescence, that if you give them the respect of explaining why you're doing a certain thing and how you're doing a certain thing, you just don't say, we expect you to have your hair cut. We explain why it crafts us as a team, why it crafts us as a group of people who stand together and stand tall and proud with looking smart and showing the world that we're proud of our uniform. You can't in a boys' school be a leader who just expects them to be compliant anymore. And that's part of us being in the 21st century. I mean, I started as a headmaster last century. So I actually started in 1999. So I've been around and there have been changes in schools, but the main precepts remain exactly the same. Boys do need a leader who talks to them. Assemblies are a critical part of leadership in a boys' school. As a leader, they're my classroom. It's a common cliche that assemblies are the headmaster's classroom, but they are, and you have to talk to them as though you're speaking to one person at those assemblies. You can't be pompous at assemblies. That's my experience of the type of leader I need to be. You need to cherish what they cherish. Whether or not I love watching rugby, I watch a great deal of rugby. And that is a sign of love. It's a sign of being able to be part of their world. And leadership is very, very important to that. You know, the world of rites of passage, you lead in a way which allows that sense of filia, that sense of brotherly love, to be paramount in their world. So, and they can't have that unless they see you as a loving leader. That's my absolute premise to my leadership style. When you're talking about what experiences have shaped my approach to leading a successful boys' school, I'm talking about the experiences I've had with that relational side of leading that you talked about a moment ago. And there are some wonderful publications that IBSC have been involved in over the years that I've learned from and reflected upon. And there are some wonderful speakers like Tom Batty who talk about it. And we all learn from others. And you can only take, as I said in my keynote address, you might only take one little jewel or one little piece of what I say in a whole hour. But if you get that one thing that took 15 seconds, then you're learning to be a better leader. I think what's my experience have shown that you never stop learning to be a better leader, and you never can. The opposite of love is indifference. It's a lovely quote. It's not hate, it's indifference. So, what you can't be in a boys' school as a leader, I've learned, is indifferent to anything. And you are always trying to think about whether the water that comes over the top of the waterfall hits the bottom rock And so we need to always be looking for the impact of our actions. And I talk about it being important to our strongest boy as equally as important to our weakest boy. It's every decision that we make as a leader. So that's what I think being in a boys' school for so long and experience in the world of young men has taught me, that you have to be very, very open as a leader. You have to care, and you have to believe, and you have to teach them to care by modeling that sense of care yourself. It's a privilege to be a leader in a boys' school, to be honest. And if you don't believe that, then be more open, be more willing to listen to the boys. And, you know, in summary, if I say how have my experiences shaped my approach, they've shaped my approach by me just learning from the boys what they need me to be in a leader, and being as much of that type of leader as I can be. And that's what leadership is all about, isn't it? You need to evaluate what your followers want and need and what will make them better. And then you have to be as much of that as you can be, and at the same time being authentic in what you're doing. You can't be something you're not. Nobody else can be the same leader as Susan Hassell, with all my flaws and all my idiosyncrasies and all my irritations that annoy our staff to death, but I'm the leader they've had. And so I need to be the best leader I can, not just for the boys, but for the staff who love the boys. Yeah, and that's very, very important, that I'm here for the staff, and I have to make sure that the staff are here for the boys, because we have a school of 2,300 boys. And so I can't look after every boy. I can only look after the staff who look after every boy. And that's critically important, I think, as something I've learned from the world of boys. They need people they can relate to. So I have to be the person who makes sure our staff understand that and live by that precept.
Some of the highlights for me from your keynotes, and as I've reflected on what you shared with us at Westlake Boys at the IBSC annual conference, is that you shared the concept of arete and also the importance of love in education. I'm wondering if you could share with us how you integrate those concepts into the curriculum and culture at Hamilton Boys High School, and so that we can learn from that.
I'm not sure about learning from that, but arete is a word which is intertwined in the fabric of what we believe in at Hamilton Boys High School. And I believe that symbols are very, very important in boys' schools, things that are symbolic. You know, as you walk through the front doors for the first time at Hamilton Boys, that is symbolic. And when you leave through those same memorial doors. And every school has their symbols that are important to them, but words are also very important. And the words we use are the words that young men believe are important. And so at my very first prize-giving address, I spoke about arete, and it's been something that I've spoken about ever since. And I don't know that the young men of Hamilton Boys knew what arete was when I started using it as a term, but they certainly all would be able to articulate what it means now. And because it's so integral to our culture, I think they understand that that's what we're all about. And it's what we're all about in everything that we do. It goes from us talking about arete to us embracing that sense of excellence in everything we do, in our waiata, which is our Māori school song, written in New Zealand's traditional language. You know, the word arete is a very strong Greek value for being the absolute best that you can be in every single aspect of your manhood. And it's very much a symbol of a Greek warrior or a Greek hero. So we integrate it in the school by talking about it in those terms, because one thing that is very, very important to me in the 21st century is that every young man has to be confident about who he is and in himself. And it's a challenging world that our people are facing today, more so than when I was growing up, where the world seemed safe. I think the world today is very different. And so how do you prepare a young person for that world is by giving him confidence and resilience. And so that means that they have to understand who they are, and to give them that confidence that they can deal with the world and be happy in the world, they have to be the best man they can be, because that's what gives them confidence. And so that's what arete is all about. It's not being the head prefect of our school or being the captain of the first 15 or playing the first board in a chess tournament. It's being the very best person that you can be, because I have a saying that we have to craft a world in which boys can be their own hero. So they have to see themselves as an heroic figure. And if they do, then they're better. So we use arete in our sport because the Greek notion is that it's all aspects of manhood. So it's your physical, your academic, your service, your spiritual, and your character. And so we use the word arete in all of those things. And the boys understand that. It's linked to our school crest. And whatever your school crest is, I've always advocated that you make something up that links to what your values are around that crest, because it's such a physical symbol. So our crest has a lion's head, has a star. And so we use those symbols to talk about arete. And we craft that in them from the beginning, right from the start. We run a little program for our year nines called Boys to Men. So our year 13 boys work with they have a year nine student each, and they work through the values of the school with them. And they're as part of their homeroom opportunities in that first term. So they become the mentor for that boy through his time in that first year. And they talk about arete with them. So it's being involved in something outside of the classroom in sport, and doing it as well as you can, even if you're completely inept. We have sports teams for boys who have never played football or soccer before. And so it's lovely to watch, but they're doing the best they can. Service is very, very important. And so arete of being the best giver you can be is very important. We cherish our service clubs and opportunities. We're big link to the Lions Club, big link to the Rotary Club. And so we have our own clubs within the school that work with them. The spiritual, we're a state non-secular, we're a state school, secular school. But we do bring a sense of the spiritual into our world. We still have a school prayer, and that prayer links to arete. And asking of somebody bigger than ourselves that we have the strength to live a life of arete. And we are a multicultural school, very much so, in the middle of Hamilton. But we craft it in a way that everybody knows that that's what matters. And I think finally, in terms of crafting that sense of arete and that sense of loving yourself, which is what arete is all about in a school, comes back to what our values are, what we believe an heroic figure is. And every school has its heroes. So who are the heroes in your school? That's the question I would ask of any headmaster listening to me, because your heroes are what the boys try to be. And if they're rugby players, then they have to be the most humble, most committed, most giving rugby players that they can be. When they win the national title in rugby, they have to come up on stage and give me the trophy and say, "This trophy is our gift to the school." They don't just stand there and hold it above their heads and say, "We did this." They did it for us. And so it's those symbolic things that matter. You need to enable boys to reflect upon who they are. At assemblies, I say to them right from the start, if you don't want to listen to me, don't listen, but take the next 10 minutes to think about you and how you can be a better person. And when somebody comes up on stage, always think, how can I be more like this person? And so I know that we're boring at assemblies. Headmasters are boring. It goes with the territory. The boys expect us to be boring. They expect us to say things, so we do need to say them. We need to be who we're there to be. But we need to use those very precious opportunities where the boys are sitting still and not learning and not playing to give them the chance to reflect and chance to be proud of who they are. And we articulate that that's part of what assemblies are for. We articulate the fact that no is a loving word, that we are crafting them into being better people. And we articulate that failing is a good thing. you know, because resilience is a skill that's being lost in today's society. And yet it's something that boys' schools still need to focus on, crafting resilience in our young men, because by protecting them, as society is tending to move towards, in New Zealand in particular, our education system protects them by not allowing failure, but by not providing rigor. So you can't protect them. You have to craft them into understanding and linking to self-fulfillment to the level they can. It lowers the lack of resilience in them, I think, and it is an issue. You know, I'll finish up talking about arete by talking about the Pygmalion effect, that whole teacher expectancy effect in schools. I think boys' schools have got that. We understand that what we expect of the boys makes them better. And when I've talked to the boys about Pygmalion effect, they haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, because Pygmalion is part of my generation and not theirs, but they understand it. You know, and there's some wonderful examples of that, like the teacher who got a list of boys with their numbers beside them, and she thought they were their IQs numbers. I tell the staff the story every year, and so she taught them because she thought, wow, I've got a bright class. And at the end of the year, she said, oh, somebody said, well done, your class did so brilliantly. And she said, oh, no, look at their IQs. And the teacher and the headmaster said, no, those aren't IQs, they're their locker numbers. And so I think that, you know, it's a lovely story that this class did the best, because she thought they were their IQ numbers and they were their locker numbers. And so I tell that story to new staff and expect teachers to expect a lot, and of themselves as well as of boys. I think teachers in boys' schools do work harder, but they get far greater rewards, and they need to show their vulnerability. I come back to that. Arete is not just about showing yourself to be great. It's about showing your vulnerability. You know, there's a lovely line in that Leonard Cohen song that says, the crack is where the light gets in. And I think that we need to show that we've cracked vessels to the boys, because that's how they see the light through us. That's how they get it. That's how they feel stronger in themselves. So arete is very, very important to us in the school. And the main way to craft it in the school is by talking about it, by using a word. Doesn't have to be arete, but boys are simple creatures. They don't need long explanations. They don't need a mission statement that's 20 sentences, because they will never even read it, let alone understand it. They need a word or two words. And I believe that love is that word, and that arete is part of the fact that we love them.
Susan, it's great to spend this time speaking with you, and I don't want to miss the opportunity to ask you this question for those educators. And you've spoken about your own team and some of the things you share with them and how you inspire them to be for the boys and to believe the best in boys. But in your experience, you know, for educators who are listening, who are aspiring to make a difference in boys' education, in boys' schools, what advice would you offer them as they go there to change the lives of the boys in their care?
Well, it's always difficult to give advice, I find, because people, I hope, listen to it, and whether they take it or not, I hope that it's an opportunity for them to reflect on it. But I have always suffered from an imposter syndrome, and I still do, so I don't expect my advice to be something that's going to change the lives of anybody who listens to me. But I believe that what I talked about before is very important. We need to be authentic. I think boys are like dogs who scent fear. They sense non-authentic straight away. They understand if you're not sincere, and they don't respect you straight away. You need to be, more than anything else, if you want to make a difference, you need to be yourself, and you need to be proud of it. And you need to let boys see who you are. I think you need to be really courageous. You need to not worry about what other people think. I have never in my career worried about what our Ministry of Education thinks of what I do. And in the end, they just go away and leave you to it. So you need to be very courageous, and you have to have that courage to accept that you are right. And if you need advice, you need to have the courage to ask for it. You never think that you know everything. So coming with that, my advice is you need to stay humble. You really do need to think that it's you that's making the difference, because you're only a hero as a headmaster and as an aspiring leader in the sense that you understand that heroes need everybody around them, because they're the ones that are making the change with you, for you sometimes, but it's everyone. You do need to stay vulnerable. I've talked about this before. I think that that's a critical part of being a really good leader for boys. And I think you need to understand boys. We need to revel in boys' maleness. You know, in New Zealand, there's a deodorant called Lynx spray. I don't know if it's a worldwide spray, but after lunch, when you go into a classroom, that's all you can smell, and it catches your throat. But you just have to love them for the fact that they've at least tried to hide the sweat by putting it on before they come into the room. You know, you need to love the fact that they try and be really rebellious by pushing their socks down, you know, so that we have to keep telling them to pull their socks up, because that's the worst they'll do. And they think they're being really naughty. And you have to love that about boys. I think as a leader, revel in their boyness. The one thing I do believe is you have to have a very strong vision, and everything has to relate to that vision. You can't get distracted by that. You have to work on what's going to make the most difference to a boy. And you make the difference as whether you're a first-year teacher or a headmaster by sticking to what you want to try to achieve in your leadership role, because we're all leaders in a school. We're all leaders. So your leadership, you know, you might be burning that light in your little corner, but your leadership is just as important as the leadership of the headmaster. So you have to have a vision, and you have to have faith that anything's possible. If you haven't got that faith that you can change the world, then you won't change the world. Simple statements, but they are important to reflect on in terms of your own practice, I think, so, because it is a responsibility to craft young men as a teacher in a boys' school. I spoke at the boys' school conference about the Maori Maori metaphor of weaving the cloak, weave your own cloak, you weave the fabric of your cloak. We are helping boys weave their cloaks. And so we have to make sure that the pattern that they're weaving is beautiful, because they're going to be wearing it all their lives. And it's a metaphor we should remind ourselves of often. If you're in the classroom, what are you doing to help that thread be straight and true in your boy's cloak of their adulthood that they're going to wear? If we don't understand that, we should leave. I say this to teachers, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, if you don't believe it, leave, because you're not the right person to be in a boys' school. So you have to be brave as a leader to say that, I think. And the last thing I'll say about educators wanting to make a difference is we can't learn wisdom. You can only learn wisdom little by little. So accept where you're at on your journey and just keep trying. And step by step, you become more able to do what boys need, but you just need to keep moving forward. I think that's a key thing based on all my long years, and I've been around a long time. So I hope I've learned a few things. If you want to make a difference to boys, be authentic, keep listening to them, and keep trying, and you'll get better and better at it, because the boys will help you. They'll help you. My very first day as a teacher was at a boys' school, and I didn't know how to open the windows. And this boy who was 18 years old, and he was doing his year 12 for the second time, said, "Oh, for goodness sake, miss, this is how you do it. I'll do it for you. I'll be the window opener this year." And so I said, "Oh, thank you very much." You know, that was my first day, my first thing in a boys' school, and it's still the same. That's what you need to understand.
I remember at the school I taught at, the boys' school I taught at, one thing sticks out. The headmaster shared with us as faculty, as staff, the one day he said, "If we aren't bringing hope into the lives of boys, then, you know, where are they going to get it? If a school can't be a place of hope in some of the desperate times we're facing in the world, then where are boys going to find that?"
That's absolutely true. Our New Zealand cricket team has a mantra somebody says to them as they go out onto the field, "If not you, then who?" And I often think when I watch them play that they're not really listening to that, because, you know, they're probably thinking, "Oh, the number nine batsman." But it's still true. It's if not you, then who? If not now, then when? And that's what teachers need to understand, because every day with a young man is precious. In the New Zealand system, you get about 180 periods of teaching in a year. So in the 40 weeks, so every period is worth, you know, every week is worth 1%, 2%. Every period matters for our young men.
It does. And Susan, as we close this conversation, I've just loved speaking to you about this and learning from you. Many boys' schools around the world, I think, are facing sort of challenge in terms of their single gender nature and other things. And, you know, some schools around the world are even deciding to go co-ed. But looking to the future, and I suppose it's always a, you know, just an estimated guess or a lucky guess. But how would you envision the role of boys' schools evolving to meet the needs of this next generation? So that, you know, as you say, we can educate boys and develop boys into the men that the world needs at this time.
If I was looking into my crystal ball, I would suggest, and it would, doesn't need a crystal ball, to be honest, I would suggest that the world still needs boys' schools. Whatever the changes are, the world still needs boys' schools. You need a high level of social trust in society to make it cohesive and safe. And in New Zealand, we're very fortunate. We have a high level of social trust that our young people grow up with that trust. And so our society is cohesive and safe in spite of the governments that we have and in spite of the things that happen in the ministries that we put up with in New Zealand. In order to have that social trust, we need the world of boys' schools. It's as simple as that. And there are schools looking to go co-educational, and it's happening in our local area. It's mostly the private independent schools. And the reasons they're doing it for, I don't believe, are the right reasons. They're often financial, or just to sustain ability, or because of parental pressure, doesn't always pay to listen to parents. However, I think what boys' schools offer is what the future world needs, and they need young men, as girls' schools offer young women. They need young men who are confident, who have that hope and faith in their future, and they get that in boys' schools. The world needs resilient people. And boys' schools give them that because we have the traditional values of expecting a great deal and allowing them to fail. We need a world where young people feel joy. You know, we need a world where young people don't commit suicide. And New Zealand has a very high suicide rate in the world. And what can we do to prevent that? What can we do to prevent that sense of hopelessness and pessimism as craft a world where they are happy while they're here, and where they feel proud of something, hopefully feel proud of themselves, but proud of being part of the family of the school, you know, of having made a difference. That's what Arete is all about, that every boy makes a difference by being the best he can be. And that crafts them into adults who will feel that as well. And I think boys' schools are essential in our future because we can love openly in a boys' school. And they need to feel loved. They need to feel that love for their brothers so that when they leave school and become men, they feel that love for their world. And nothing in that is changing. You know, if I get down to the more pragmatic, we need boys' schools because boys' schools understand that knowledge still matters, that you can't craft understanding unless you give young people that base of knowledge. And I'm a traditionalist, so some people will be shaking their heads by now, but I firmly believe that boys' schools are places where we still cherish knowledge and we still cherish the understanding that comes through that. And no matter what tools we have, no matter whether we have AI, whether the internet goes to a next generation, whether we have holograms talking to us and with us face-to-face, even though we're in different parts of the world, whatever the future holds, knowledge still brings understanding, and understanding brings that intelligence, that decision is based on. Whatever the world changes, we still need human beings who are making those decisions that craft our existence. And to get human beings who are able to do that, I believe very, very firmly, we need the values and the style of school, which are boys' schools. And that is the key, because we're based on faith. We're based on the faith that the future will be a good place for our young people to be part of. but they need to have the strength and the capabilities to make sure that happens. And we give it to them. We can make the difference. We underestimate the difference we're making in the world. I think IBSC is a wonderful organization. We need to cherish it more as individual schools. We need to support it more. It needs to keep thinking about how it can continue to make that difference. The reasons IBSC was created were wonderful reasons. That now the next iteration is what are the ways in which it can continue to ensure that boys' schools make such a difference in the world they're part of. I'm an absolute convert to boys' schools, and so, you know, the newly converted are the people who preach the loudest. So I believe that, you know, one can never love enough. Aldous Huxley said one never loves enough, and boys' schools are a place where we can love. And so that in the end is what's going to make the difference.
What a wonderful way to end this conversation. And Susan, I want to wish you all the best. You, on the day that we're recording this, you have 2 days left, I believe, at Hamilton Boys Night School.
Absolutely. 2 more days, 48 hours.
Enjoy those last moments in the school. I'm sure your legacy will live on in the halls of Hamilton Boys High School. But certainly just the opportunity to hear from you both at Westlake Boys at the conference and also in this podcast. We're so grateful for your time and that you have been willing to share your journey, your experience and your insights with us. Thank you so much.
And I thank you very, very much. It's been an absolute privilege. I'm going to miss my world very, very much in the years ahead, but I feel so grateful that I've had the chance to be part of the world of boys, and so we should all. Thank you very much.
I'm sure you'll agree that Susan's message is clear. Boys' schools have a vital role to play in shaping the future. By fostering a culture of excellence, celebrating traditions, and providing strong leadership, these schools can equip young men with the skills and confidence they need to thrive. Remember, every interaction with a boy is an opportunity to make a difference, and boys' schools can be places of love, hope, and resilience. Thank you for joining us for this episode. Until next time, keep on championing boys' education.